Bagovita 7.4. Bumira po na lowa yu khammano buddhire vacha ahankara iti yamme vinna prakriti rashtadham. From this verse onwards, Krishna starts giving the knowledge that he has glorified in the first three verses. Krishna has said that in 7.1, here that knowledge by which you will be able to know me in full and your mind will become attached to me. So that knowledge is what is going to be described by Krishna in this chapter. Srila Prabhupada writes in his book On the Way to Krishna, knowledge comes from Krishna, but knowledge doesn't begin with Krishna. That means that Attasmitrigyanapohanamcha Buddhir Buddhimatamasmi. Krishna says at various places that whatever knowledge whoever has, that knowledge ultimately comes from the super soul who uses that intelligence, uses that knowledge, uses that understanding. But knowledge doesn't begin with Krishna. That means that we don't suddenly start thinking, oh, who is God? Normally, yes, there may be some wake-up calls when we start thinking about higher truths of life. But normally, we look around the world and try to make sense of the world. Especially by the world. It's not the big, big world that we think about. We usually think about our world. The world in which we are affected by others, we try to affect others, and the ups and downs happen in this world, and the nature is there around us. So we try to observe that. So all around us is matter. So Krishna connects that which is around us with him by telling us in this verse that it's all his prakriti. Bhumir apo na lo vayu. So, Bhumi is earth, Apo, water, Nalo is fire, Vayu is wind. Kham mano buddhir eva cha. Kham is ether, mind, intelligence and ego. Ahankara iti yam me, iti ayam, ayam, all these. Me, my, vinna prakriti rashtadha. Vinna, separated, prakriti, nature, or Prabhupada translates it as energy, ashtadha, eight. So, now sometimes this verse is, Prabhupada translates these are my eight separated energies. And sometimes this verse is also translated as, these are the eight separations in my energy. So I have my material energy, and these are the eight separate things in that material energy also. So using Bhinna as connected with me, that it's separated from me in the sense that although ultimately everything is connected with Krishna, but matter has a nature that is opposite to the nature of Krishna. Krishna is spiritual, matter is material, of course, by the very name. Krishna is eternal, matter, at least its manifestations, are temporary. And although there is such a diversity between the transcendental absolute truth and the material elements that comprise existence, still, there is the connection also. The connection is that this is Krishna's energy. Now, when Prabhupada uses the word energy, he uses it in a sense different from the way it is used in modern physics or modern science in general. Normally, earth, water, fire, earth, water, say, they should not be considered energy by scientists. They will consider, yes, water can be used to generate energy, say through a hydroelectric power project, or earth in the form of coal can be used to generate energy through say a thermal power project or whatever. So energy is a specific thing within material nature, within the conception of science, as the word uses scientifically. Energy is that which causes motion, that which makes things happen, and the energy has a precise scientific term and it refers to a quantity within material nature. Whereas when Prabhupada uses the word energy, at that time he refers to it as something which is activated by someone else. So when scientists talk about energy, they talk about energy itself as the agency of movement. Srila Prabhupada talks about energy as the agency, of course, but he talks about energy as belonging to an energetic. And in that sense, the term, the usage of the energy connects much more with energetic, and that energetic being, that supreme energetic being, is the Supreme Lord. So behind the Shakti is the Shaktiman, and Krishna is telling over here that he is the Shaktiman, he is the supreme being. He is the supreme energetic person who is the source of various energies. The division of the things in existence into various energies and referring to them as energies of the Supreme Lord is done in the Vishnu Purana primarily. And the Acharyas in our tradition, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, I use that Vishnu Sakti Para Prokta Kshetragya Khyatatha Para Avidya Karma Sanyaya Tritiya Shakti Rishyate. So Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta, there is one Shakti that is Para, Kshetragya Khyatatha Para, and there is a Kshetragya Shakti, and Avidya Karma Sanyaya, and there is the Avidya Shakti, there is the material energy, Karma Sanyaya, which impels one to karma. Tritiya Shakti Rishi, this is third Shakti. So Krishna is now here talking about the third Shakti, the material energy. And these eight elements are the primary constituents, primary components of material existence. And among these, there are five which are gross and three which are subtle. Although the fifth element, ether, is also subtle in the sense that it is not perceivable by our senses, but just as we infer the presence of wind through touch, similarly we infer the presence of ether through sound. We cannot see air, but when we feel, say, our clothes waving, then we understand, or we feel a sense of warmth or frigidity on our face depending on whether the wind that is blowing is hot or cold, then we understand that actually there is wind over there. So by inference, so that means, although we cannot perceive in the sense of directly see ether, but by inference from perception, we can understand its existence, and that inferences from a gross perception, that is the perception of sound. So in that sense it's considered a gross element. And mind, intelligence and ego are subtle elements. Now this framework that Krishna uses here in the Bhagavad Gita is drawn from Sankhya. Sankhya is one of the six systems of philosophy, and Krishna will talk about them again in this about again in 13.6 and 7 after he talks about that it here. And Sankhya involves Esha Te Abhita Sankhya Buddhir Yogetva Imamshu. Krishna used the word Sankhya earlier also in 2.39 when he talked about how I have spoken this knowledge in terms of analysis. So at that time the analysis was primarily differentiating the living being into the body and the soul. Whereas now here Krishna will differentiate material elements also differentiate matter into its component elements, and he will also differentiate whatever is talked about earlier, matter and spirit, as he will connect them as his energies. So theistic Sankhya accepts the analysis that is done in Sankhya, but places that in a theistic framework wherein the elements are understood to be manifestations of the energy of the absolute. In the history of science, there have been two broad theories of matter. There has been the elemental theory of matter, which was talked about by the Greeks, and there has been the atomic theory of matter. So the diversity of the material manifestations that are there around us, thinkers try to break them down into some fundamental building blocks. So one way is to divide them into fundamental elements of which they are made, and the other is to build down into fundamental atoms of which they are made. So modern science prefers the atomic theory. Now sometimes the Sankhya of the Bhagavad Gita, which is further developed in the Sankhya of the Bhagavad in the third canto, this is equated with the Greek elemental theory. And the Greek elemental theory often had severe problems, and it was critiqued and rejected. But the Gita Sankhya and subsequently the Bhagavad Sankhya, that is actually much more sophisticated and subtle. And it shouldn't be lumped with the Greek elemental theory. Now, understanding the difference between the two is well out of the scope of our present discussion. But suffice it to say that this is the way primarily our focus in this flow in the Gita should needn't be on the specifics of the analysis, but on the principle underlying the analysis. The principle is that while we may analyze and differentiate matter into its various components in various ways, the important point is that this is me prakritir, that it is Krishna's energy. And in this way, whenever we see things around us, rather than becoming captivated by them, I think, oh, this is beautiful, or oh, this is ugly. We are not exactly captivated in the sense of attracted when we see something ugly, but still our consciousness gets captivated and we want to go away from there. Just if we are there and we see something ugly, we just can't not think of it, and the only way we can avoid thinking about it is by, say, going away from there. So the point is that Krishna is telling Arjuna how to make the mind attached to him. So he says that learn to see whatever you see in matter, in material existence, as my energies. And this way we can connect the objects of our material sense perception with our spiritual realization, with our devotional growth, by remembering that they are the energies of Krishna. Thank you.